Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
And welcome to the Compass Catholic Podcast. And the name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministry, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. Do you realize there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that deal specifically with money and possessions? And in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, we use these biblical principles to show you how to remove the debt in your life. We'll also show you the importance of saving, investing, giving, how to deal with a financial crisis, and how to have a better relationship with God. You can learn more at CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Here we are, the first week of January already completed, and I hope that you have reviewed your 2018 finances, and based on that review, that you developed a financial plan for 2019.
What's that? You say you haven't reviewed what happened in 2018 yet? And you haven't done anything for 2019? We were afraid that might happen. So this program is just for you.
And just so you know, creating a plan is definitely following the Bible and a scriptural thing to do. We read in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, "Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion?" So developing a financial plan for the year is like building something.
You need to have a basic understanding of what you're spending your money on before you can develop a plan for the new year. Having a plan and managing your money and your possessions is all about being a good steward. Let's start with a review. You know, what happened in 2018? How did your actual spending compare to your budget? You know, if you're using a budgeting app or an electronic spreadsheet, this should be really easy to accomplish. Now, if you have no records whatsoever and you have to try to recreate them, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Well, you're not going to be able to recreate the whole year.
No, it'll be, but you know, you need to make an attempt. So if you've got a plan or you've got an app that you're using, just run a report for the full year, January through December, and do it by category. And then go through, review each category to see how you did for the year.
And that category review needs to be against what you spent versus the amount you budgeted in that category.
Yes.
It's not just like, whoa, I spent $5,000 in that category. That was good. It's like, I spent $5,000, but I had $4,000 budgeted, so that's not good. Or I had $6,000 budgeted, so I came in under budget.
Yes, exactly. You know, if you've been monitoring the budget or spending plan, if that's what you call it, every month, you know, nothing on that year-end report is really going to surprise you. Some months you spend a little bit more than what you budgeted, and some months you spend a little bit less. So the key to updating your spending plan is to see if there's any categories that were totally off target. And these would be categories where you spent either over or under, doesn't matter, by maybe 5 or 10%. You need to take a look at them, and you know, if they were underspent by 10%, that's good, or 5%. Underspending is good. But then what you want to do is you want to tweak that category, push the amount that you've budgeted down, keep that as a surplus in case there's another category where you've overspent because you didn't have a high enough budget amount, and you can add that differential in there.
Or you can save the money for future needs. Always a good thing to save, right?
Oh, you're talking to my heart now.
So if you step back and look at each category from an annual perspective, it's going to give you a lot of insight into any trouble areas of your spending, and it's going to be a super basis for establishing your budget for the new year. Because where a lot of people make mistakes is they pull numbers out of the air for budgets, and then they try to make their spending match that number they pulled out of the air. Whereas if you're actually comparing it to what you had spent last year, you've got real numbers to work with.
You know, once you've thoroughly reviewed last year's budget and financial plan, you're ready to begin setting the plan for the new year. If you didn't have a plan from last year that you can use, you know, as a starting point, that means this is the first time that you're going to be doing a financial plan. And really, that's great. Because at least you're thinking about doing it. You know, if you haven't done it before, there's no better time like today to start. So I'm sure that you will probably have many questions about how to create a plan, what to include, all those kinds of things. So let's take a look at the questions that you really should be asking yourself.
Well, let's step back for a minute and realize that if you don't know where you want to end up, and where you want to go, then having a plan is meaningless. Because you'd never take a trip without first putting the destination, a trip to an unknown location without first putting the destination into your GPS, right?
Absolutely.
Because if all you do is start out driving and you don't know where you're going, then you can go around the block or to the end of the driveway and you've made a success because you went someplace, even though you didn't have a specific destination in mind.
It makes me feel better when we do that.
Your wife's gonna make you stop and ask for directions.
Our driveway's too short to make any progress driving down it. It's like, pull the car out, we're at the end of the driveway. But if you don't have a specific destination in mind, you can go anywhere, even in circles, and you've accomplished your goal. So creating a financial plan is similar to that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because you said something
about
you have questions.
This is about questions,
Steve. So I'm one of those that have never done a financial plan. Do I guess on how much I spent on food or gas?
I think you can estimate based on some number.
Credit card bills,
your checking account, your savings account. But you don't want to hold yourself to that because if you're guessing and you're trying to make that match what you're actually spending, you're just going to get frustrated and throw the whole thing out the window. That's why when we encourage people to start budgeting, we encourage them to first track what they spend so they have a real picture of what's going on before they start pulling numbers out of the air.
And if you haven't been tracking what you spend, you haven't been keeping track of your receipts and all that kind of stuff, in today's world, people spend an awful lot of money on credit cards. That's neither good nor bad. A credit card is just a tool, just like a $10 bill is a tool that helps you buy whatever it is that you want to buy. But if you're the kind of person who has been using credit cards extensively, then all you have to do is go into your online credit card account and you can pull down an annual report and it'll actually break out, at least with some of the credit card companies, it'll tell you the total amount you spent and break it out by their perceived categories based on the type of store that you bought, whatever it was that you bought from. So it's a way to get started. You have to look at it and give it a sanity check. It says that your housing costs were 80% of what you spent on that credit card, and that doesn't include the mortgage or the insurance and that kind of stuff. You know, that number's probably not a good number, and so you're going to have to mush it up a little bit to figure out where you know, you were actually spending, you know, what categories belong in that.
And it will take a little work, but it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
It definitely was worth it.
Well, so mushing it up is a technical financial term for Compass Catholic,
that's
right?
High level, Evelyn.
You got to have a PhD to be able to mush it up.
We're talking on another level here.
But I like what you said about starting with the end in mind, because if you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there.
That's absolutely
true. So you have to have some kind of an end picture in mind on what you want to accomplish financially in 2019.
Absolutely. And just to give you a sense of where you should be going with an end in mind, I was on a conference call today, and I actually, what I told them was that the key to success, keeping on track with your financial plan, is knowing how much and where you're spending your money. The key is that today, 30-some years later, I can still tell you, we keep track of what we spend and where we spend. I can keep track to within 1% of our expenditures against our total income. Our total income is 100%. I know where 99% of that money went.
You know, the other thing that really helps people get organized at this time of year is the Compass Money Map, which is available on our website, compasscatholic.org. And this map takes you through the steps to reach true financial freedom.
What is true financial freedom? Well, by our definition, it means that you have no debt, not even a house mortgage, and you have saved enough money that you have your retirement totally funded. You don't have to go out and work to have an income. The income will come naturally. The map, one of the great things about the map, is that it provides steps that you have to accomplish both for the short term, the midterm, and even the long term in order to reach financial freedom.
So there's 7 destinations on the map, and each destination has several steps. So check off the steps you've completed in each destination and then go to the earliest destination that's incomplete and complete those steps in order. And that'll help you save. It'll help you pay off all of your debt, credit cards, auto loans, house, mortgage. And it'll give you a good snapshot of where you are financially.
Yeah, and because you haven't been spending your money with the end in mind, there's going to be check marks on those boxes that are where there isn't any check mark. There's going to be boxes where there aren't any check marks. And so you go all the way back to the very beginning on those and complete them. And once you get those completed, you move to the next box and the next box. Buying a house isn't until destination 4. You probably already have a house, so you check that one off. But then you go back down to box number 1. Do you have $1,000 in your emergency fund? Most people are going to say, oh, no, I don't have that. So that's a good place to start.
Again, to find the Compass Money Map, go to compasscatholic.org, click on the word resources, you'll find it in the navigation bar, and there you will find the Compass Money Map. Print it out, put it somewhere where you're going to see it each and every day. It's a good reminder to have. It will keep you focused on the task at hand. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, and today we are providing some advice to help you put together your 2019 financial plan. John, let's talk about when you and Evelyn were first married and your financial plan.
For the first 10 to probably 15 years that we were married, we really didn't have a financial plan. We were pretty much just flying by the seat of our pants. It was fun, huh?
No, it wasn't. I beg to differ.
But once we took the Bible study and we really sat down and created a short-term plan to get out of debt, things changed. We still didn't have a midterm plan or a long-term plan, but we were focused, and we needed to be focused on the here and now because we had created a significant amount of debt, and we had to figure out how to right the ship.
So we did that for several years, and then we really got serious about determining a long-term and a midterm plan. And like you said earlier in the show, John, we're still using that long-term plan that we developed so many years ago because our lifestyle has changed somewhat. So we tweak it every year and update it every year. But the basis for what we're doing today is still in that plan we developed so long ago.
There's one thing that is an absolute about financial plans, and that's that they change.
Yes. Now, that doesn't mean chaos. That means they get adjusted as life changes occur.
Well, that's right. You know, we both had job changes during that period of time.
Which meant income changes.
Income changes. We bought and sold two or three houses in that period of time because we transferred from one location to another and then back to another one. And then we also retired. We retired a little bit early so we could become volunteers for the ministry. Every time there's a life event, as the life insurance people like to talk about, every time you have a life event, what you really need to be looking at your financial plan, in addition to looking at it, you know, at the beginning of the year, every single year. I've already looked at our plan for this coming year. We actually...
For 2019?
For 2019, we actually had a meeting with our financial advisor last month. We're right on target, and it's funny, that plan that I created in the spreadsheet, we still use that when we go see the financial advisor. We look at that first, and then we look at what he's got.
But let's talk about the kind of questions you should be thinking about as you're establishing your financial plan for 2019. So the first question is, will your earnings increase or decrease in the new year? You know, are you planning on moving jobs? Is one of the working spouses in the family going to quit working? Are you banking on getting a raise that's guaranteed? Does that happen in the new year? So what kind of adjustments are being made to either increase or decrease your income?
Another thing that you want to be considering is, how much money do you want to have when you retire? You see all these commercials and people have numbers coming out of their head and they're writing them on walls in parks, and people don't have a clue. You know why they don't have a clue? They don't have a clue because they don't know how much they spend today. And if they don't know how much they spend today, how on earth are they expected to know how much they're going to spend 20 years from now when they retire?
And it's all based on current activity, isn't it?
It really is.
The next thing to look at is your expenses. Are you going to have expenses that increase or decrease? So, for example, is your tax bill going up next year? Are you having a child go to college next year? That'll increase if you're paying tuition. At the same time, your food budget, if it's a teenage boy, will decrease significantly when they're not eating at home.
Tuition, though.
It'll still go down. Having had a teenage boy in the house, we know that.
And how to have the tax rule changes, the tax laws. There's some pretty massive changes that are taking effect beginning January the 1st. Well, actually, they apply as of last year, January the 1st. But now when you start to file your taxes after January the 1st, you know, you're going to see a big difference in, you know, the deductions that you can make and those kinds of things. You know, we've totally restructured our giving based on the new tax laws. We haven't decreased our giving at all, but it's totally restructured based on the tax laws, based on age. You know, there's a lot of things in there that come into play. So you have to plan for all these things. And now is the time to be thinking about how they're going to affect 2019.
Here's a question I have on one of the questions you threw out. How much money do you need to have when you retire? At what point do you start making that decision? I'm 30 years old, so I'm 30, 35 years away from retirement. At what point should I really start focusing in? This is how much I'm going to need by the time I'm 65, when I'm calling it quits.
Now.
But your needs would change. Hopefully the house is paid for.
Your needs may change, but if you don't start tracking your spending now...
No, I understand the tracking the spending, but yeah, coming to the conclusion that I'm going to need $50,000 every year to retire, because right now I'm living on $65,000.
So if I tell you you're going to need a bucket full, that's probably not precise enough.
Is that a 5?
Not after you just talked about being precise.
Is that a 5 or 10 gallon?
No, but if you know you're spending 65 now, then you extrapolate that into the future, because there's going to be cost of living increases. Mm-hmm. And you might have to decrease it a little bit based on your decreased spending in retirement. But it still gives you a good benchmark to shoot for, because it's going to take a long time to save up enough for retirement.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When I heard you say that question, is in the back of my mind, people may be saying, oh, I can wait a couple of years before I start my retirement program.
No.
Yeah, you should start at the first day you get a job.
You should have started yesterday. Yeah. If you know what you're spending today and you're keeping track of that, and you know essentially what you're going to spend next year, mm-hmm. you know, you're spending, in spite of what people say, Evelyn and I have been retired now for a number of years. We haven't seen our spending decrease. In certain categories, it has decreased. But it's increased in other categories. So the overall amount of money that we're spending is pretty much stayed the same. So if you're living on $65,000 today and you're going to retire in 15 or 20 years, yes, that $65,000 is going to be less, but you're going to have more right. money. And so I never really inflated the amount or deflated the expenditures or anything like that. It makes it much too complicated. I just said, you know, I know that this level of spending is where I am. That's where I'm going to be when I retire. And it's worked out quite well.
No, I tell people that go to compasscatholic.org, the retirement calculator that we have, is the default setting is 75% of your current. Reset that to 100% because nothing's really going to change.
That's correct. Even when the house is paid off, you're going to find yes. other things to do with that money,
you're traveling.
Travel yes. or visit grandkids mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is, you're going to find one thing as human beings that we do really well is to fill voids in our spending.
Yeah.
You know, we have no spending gaps.
No, Audrey and I, that gap is flying out to Austin, Texas to see the grandkids and flying into La Jolla to see our other son out in California.
Yes,
so,
yes.
A number of times a year, yeah.
Yeah, don't expect that your money's going to, that your spending is going to decrease. Yeah. If it does,
good
then hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, that's really great, and you'll be able to save some money.
You'll live to 105, and you'll still have money.
Exactly, exactly.
So another suggestion we have for some checkups throughout the year is to calculate your net worth on a regular basis, definitely once a year. But if you're trying to get your finances under control, you may want to do it quarterly or twice a year. So, John, explain the net worth calculation.
Well, the net worth calculation is really pretty simple. You take all of your assets. So, for example, you would take what you could sell your house for tomorrow if you had to sell it. What you could sell your car for, or all your cars or vehicles, your furniture, everything that you've got, all your assets, your savings, your retirement savings, your IRAs, 401, all that stuff, add it all together. Those are your assets. Everything that you have that has a value is an asset. Add it all together. And then you subtract from your assets all of your debts. So that would be your home mortgage, your car loans, furniture loans, you know, credit cards, whatever it is that you've got.
Loans from Uncle Fred.
Loans from Uncle Fred, school loans, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's debt. So you subtract your debt from your assets, and that equals your net worth. And you want your net worth to be positive, Steve, not negative.
If it's negative, then you owe more than you have, right?
That's exactly right.
And that's not a good position
exactly.
to be in.
Exactly.
So it's not something you want to do every month, but once or twice a year or every quarter would be a good thing, because it'll encourage you if you see your assets grow and your debts decrease, meaning your net worth is going to be increasing.
So another thing you want to take a look at is your debt. One key to having a successful financial plan is to reduce your debt as fast as possible. In previous programs, we've talked about the significant amount of debt that encumbers most households. $10,000 to $15,000 of credit card debt, $30,000 of automobile debt, $130,000 or $140,000 of mortgage debt. The faster that you can reduce all this debt, the better that your financial plan will look. If you're married, you should develop this plan with your spouse, right, Evelyn?
Definitely. There's nothing better than your spouse to give you advice.
Even if they have no interest in money or planning, they don't even know how to begin to start this, make sure you include them in it and talk about it with them so they have a sense.
If you create your plan keeping the scriptures in mind for each step that you take, you will ultimately achieve success. Read Psalm 32:8.
And just in case you don't get to Psalm 32:8, it says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. Well, we hope this motivates you to start putting together your 2019 financial plan. And before we leave you today, let's see if we can get to one or two emails. John and Evelyn, does the Bible say anything about when, what age, a person should retire?
Well, the only reference in the Bible is in the book of Numbers, and it's talking about the Levites who worked in the tabernacle were supposed to retire at the age of 50. But in the rest of the Bible, there's really not one single reference to retiring.
So that means as we get older, we're not supposed to quit working. We're just supposed to change our focus of work and maybe move into some different type of work, like full-time volunteer efforts or helping out our families or something, so that we're still making good use of our time and talents.
Yeah, there was a popular book that was written, and I can't remember the author now, but it was entitled, Don't Retire, Rewire. And I think that pretty well explains what you should be doing. As much as many of us would like to go sit at the city gates, you know, and with the elders and pontificate, I think if you work for the Lord, you would serve God much better.
And one final email, John and Evelyn, I currently tithe on my gross income and receive reimbursement from my employer for college tuition. Should I tithe the reimbursement? I want to honor the Lord, and I don't know what to do.
The quick answer to your question is yes. I would honor the Lord by giving a tithe on the reimbursement of your college tuition. You know, Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of your increase. And this reimbursement is an increase. It's actually a blessing from God that you're getting it, and you're not having to take the money out of your pocket. I think we should always give against the blessings that he has provided for us.
Because you can't outgive God.
No. And I really appreciate this person's heart to honor Christ in the way he's doing it.
If you would like some advice from John and Evelyn on a financial challenge that you may be experiencing, by all means, send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And should we use your question on the air, we'll be glad to send you a copy of their book, Your Money Counts. This book is a biblical guide to earning, spending, saving, getting out of debt. Again, send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. On behalf of John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on that magic button that says podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.